Hi, I'm Rabbi Simcha Feuerman. I'm a psychotherapist and a marriage counselor. And today I'm going to talk to you about one rule, just one rule that you can do to make your marriage better and better. We hear a lot of advice about marriage from everyone, and I thought that there'd be something to talk about based on actually a pasuk and chumash, a verse in the Torah. The Torah tells us, actually the Torah tells the Kohen, that ordinarily he's not allowed to become tamei, to expose himself to a corpse or a dead body. It's against the rules. Yet there's certain relatives that you're allowed to become tamei for. You're allowed to expose yourself and become impure for. And the Torah lists the various relatives, the kind of relatives you would imagine. A son, a daughter, a brother, a father, a mother. And the odd thing is, the Torah doesn't say somebody very important. Who's missing? The spouse is missing. The Torah does not mention the wife explicitly. However, the rabbis derive from the verse that the wife is included. How do they do this? Well, the verse opens up with the following statement. It says that he can only become impure. He only could expose himself to a corpse and to take care of a deceased relative. Only a relative that is flesh who is close to him, including the mother and the father, etc. So the rabbis say, what does this mean, someone, the flesh who's close to him? Who is that referring to? The literal meaning of the verse is, it's just talking about all relatives. But the rabbis understand, who is the flesh that's close to you? That, of course, is the wife or the spouse. So the question is, the Torah doesn't waste words. Why does the Torah use three words? The flesh that is close to him in Hebrew is three words. Why does the Torah use three words to make the point that a Kohen is allowed to be involved in the burial of his wife? Why not just say his wife? And that would be very simple. So the answer that I believe, and the point that the Torah is trying to make, is that you have to ask the question, where is your spouse? You have to look for your spouse. You have to constantly be looking after the welfare and romancing and looking after your spouse. And then the interesting thing is that even though it's not there in the verse, when you find it there, it's the first statement. So the flesh that is close to you, the spouse, is the first relative that's listed according to the way that the rabbis deduce it from the verse. So what does all this mean? What I'm trying to say is that the effort that one makes to constantly romance and look after and win the favor of their spouse is the most important thing that you can do in a marriage. There was an interesting study a couple of years ago where they took two groups of people, two couples, two sets of couples, a control group and the experiment group. And in the, both couples were given a survey, a marital satisfaction survey, the kind of things you probably see in some kind of magazine, like Reader's Digest, you know, with different questions about your satisfaction in your relationship, my spouse is my best friend, etc., etc. So each of these groups were given this survey. However, one group, before they were given the survey, were given a brain teaser to solve. It was some kind of brain teaser they had to work on together on the computer. The thing that the couples who were working on the brain teaser did not know is that it was completely rigged. So that even though they thought that they were working on the puzzle, actually, in a short while, after some amount of effort, enough effort that it felt like they were doing something, after a short while, the solution emerged. So the couples who were working on the brain teaser, they thought, wow, aren't we clever? We solved the brain teaser. They'd give each other a high five. They didn't know that the whole thing was bogus and rigged. Now, the interesting thing is that the group that were given the problem to solve, and they successfully solved the problem, they reported much higher marital satisfaction than the other group. So what's the take-home lesson from that? What do we understand from that? What we understand is that when couples do something together that's enjoyable and they accomplish something, they feel good, they feel close. But there's something even more subversive and strange about it. It means that when they do something that feels good and they solve some problem, even though it's an abstract problem that has nothing to do with their regular everyday life problems, they feel better. They feel more satisfied in their marriage. So unbelievably, because they solved some ridiculous brain teaser that was bogus and rigged, they feel happier and more satisfied with their marriage, even though the same problems that they have about money they had before they solved the brain teaser, even though the same problems they had with their mothers-in-law or their families or their kids they had before. Yet when they solved the problem together, they felt great. And when they checked off the questions on the marital satisfaction survey, they said, wow, I'm a very happily married spouse. Why? Because we, of course, they weren't saying this out loud, but unconsciously, because we solved this problem together. So what does that tell you? That tells you that no matter what your problems are, no matter what your stresses are, no matter what the things are, the disappointments, the hurts, the difficulties that are in your relationship, and frankly, are in every relationship, no matter what those disappointments are, there is an appropriate and very worthwhile tactic to do something exciting, interesting, and fun together. And so working on romancing your spouse, making time, looking after that person's welfare, regardless of how you feel about other issues, is an extremely important tool for your marriage. Couples should get together once a week. They should go out on a real date. And it sometimes makes me sad, because we see oftentimes very well-meaning individuals and organizations pushing very important issues, extremely important issues about wellness of family, whether they're talking about internet safety, or they're talking about modesty, or any other very important, not unimportant, very important principle of preserving family and married life. But what doesn't get said often enough is love your spouse. Do something fun with your spouse. Romance your spouse. And that, my friends, is the most important thing that you can do. So I wish you all good luck and success. And if you follow that rule, I think you'll be rewarded.